Coming up this week on The Gist of It, Bill says, I don't get soccer. I'll prove to him that I do so. Get soccer. The Hockey Hall of Fame selection process. What are you guys, in the Skulls or something? Rob Ford. Is he or isn't he gay? Pride friendly. I should have written that on the same page. Rob Ford. Is he or isn't he gay pride friendly? Gay pride? What about a pride? Canada Day thoughts. You know, I love Canada. Look at me, Bill. I've got a Curling Stone t-shirt, an RCAF sweatshirt. I got a CFL hat. Cut me. You'd want to drizzle that stuff on your pancake because that is 100% pure maple syrup.
Politics, sports, entertainment, pop culture. It's all fair game here. Somewhere in the city of Toronto, two brains are about to collide. What will remain is the gist of it. Here now are Bill Hayes and Don Landry.
Don, sometimes you have to do something you don't want to do. Like this today. No, I'm kidding. Maybe like spending the weekend at your wife's parents' cottage. Or going to a wedding in some godforsaken place with people you barely know. We've all had to do it. They aren't fun moments, but they do send a message. The message is that you care. Maybe not directly or totally, but the people you're doing these things with or you're spending time with mean something to you. It's a part of being connected with people, sacrifices we all make. Sure, you'd rather be at a ball game with a cottage or, frankly, anywhere else, but you do it because it's the right thing to do. And it's also a sign of maturity. That's why Mayor Rob Ford's decision to head up north and stay away from this weekend's Pride festivities is so disappointing. Grow up, Rob, and embrace. Don't divide and disgrace. Remember, you represent all of us now, not just the ones you agree with.
Kablooey! It's time for Bombs Away.
Well, Bill, the Hockey Hall of Fame has introduced its class for 2011, and I think it's a pretty good class. No arguments here. But the Hall's fierce protection of its process by which it selects honorees and the guarding of privileged conversations is annoying and smacks of elitism. There's that word, elitism. Their argument that they're protecting the privacy of the selection committee's discussions and viewpoints because it safeguards a gloves-off kind of interaction and leads to good old honest conversation is bunk, I think. They are safeguarding themselves from having to talk about their choices and decisions in public. Nothing more. It is a cop-out. Public discussion by the likes of Pat Quinn, Don Hay, Jim Gregory, and the rest of the selectors, I think, would be welcome and should, in fact, be insisted upon. Let's have a little bit of a conversation about this whole thing and about what you guys talked about around that table. It's not like you're selecting a pope or anything. And even that process, at least we get something from the Vatican, Bill, like puffs of smoke to signal that there is or isn't a new pope. Give us smoke, Hockey Hall of Fame. You got the perfect guy in Pat Quinn and his stogies. One puff, Gilmore's in. Two, he's not. Because you're picking hockey players for a trophy case, not strategizing for the military or breaking down spy photos that were shot over Beijing. Come on, loosen up a little bit. You guys act like the PM at a scrum with CBC staffers only. Your reasons for choosing player A but not player B do matter to fans. And by talking about it, you get the chance to convince me why the choice is right. But most importantly, you don't look like you've got something to hide. Again and again. I eagerly await your reply, Hockey Hall of Fame, although I'm sure it'll be rife with black bars covering the redacted portions you're so sure can't be viewed by a mere mortal member of the hockey public.
Done.
Bill.
Four new members in hockey's Hall of Fame. Doug Gilmore, Joe Nieuwendyk, Ed Belfour, all former Leafs for a period of time. Not much in some cases. A little more in others. Let's face it, I think they all made their bones elsewhere, but still. And all worthy choices, I think we could argue that.
I'm a very young man. I don't remember Gilmore playing for the Leafs, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, okay.
Old man.
All right. And the other one, speaking of old, Mark Howe, do you remember him?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Oh, you remember him? I see. Okay.
Sure. Mr. Hockey, right?
What did you think? You're scaring me now.
Son of Mr. Hockey.
Son of Mr. Hockey.
I'm good, as I mentioned off the top, I'm good with all of these selections. I've been banging the Doug Gilmore drum for a few years. He was eligible a few years before this, and I think should have been in. I think the first year he was eligible, they had room. I think they only put a couple or three
That's
players
right.
in.
Yep.
He could have gone in, should have gone in. I can't argue with Joe Nieuwendyk, three-time Cup champion.
Three different teams.
Numbers are similar to Gilmore's. Ed Belfour, again, a Cup champion and one of the great netminders of his era. And Mark Howe, I don't argue with either. This is one of the great overall, all-around defensemen, again, of his, 18 or 17 years or whatever he played. Mark Howe was a great package of a defenseman because he could do everything for you. We talk about puck-moving defensemen and we talk about stay-at-home defensemen. Mark Howe did both very, very well, fully deserving.
I don't argue that Mark Howe was a great defenseman. I do think a couple of things on that, though. Firstly, while he was great, I'm not so sure that he's Hall-worthy. He did have a very good career. He played 929 games and a further 400 in the WHA, 426, and he scored almost 200 goals. As a defenseman, he was outstanding.
That's pretty good.
Oh, and very good. But he last played in 1995. They've had chances to get him in before.
Yeah.
So I kind of wonder why now. The other thing is, there to me, is another great player that has not been put in the Hall, and that's Pavel Bure. You can argue all you want about that he's Russian, and I've heard that argument put forth.
Well, that has nothing to do with it. What do you mean?
It shouldn't, but I absolutely
believe
it does.
There are Russians in the Hall of Fame.
There are, but and further to him, I recall after he left, he was linked with some of the Russian oligarchs, the Russian mob, and I have to believe that that has something to do with it.
Well, as in the old days, that would have fast-tracked him. He would have been in with Ballard.
That's right, because people were afraid of what might happen. But the fact is that, this is a guy who I cannot believe is not Hall of Fame worthy. He had a career, three times a 50-goal scorer on the international stage, a dynamic player for Russia when the Russians really were good. I just don't understand how he's not getting in. And again, you mentioned earlier, part of it is the process. I'd like to know how close he is to getting it.
Yeah.
He should be there.
I think he certainly probably will. No, not over Mark Howe. And if Mark Howe had to wait this long, Pavel Bure can bloody well wait a few years, too. I mean, longevity has something to do with it. Now, he played 700 and some odd games in the National Hockey League. If you play 1,000 or 1,200, I think that means a whole lot more. Look, I know he played in the Russian Elite League or leagues, but that's not the National Hockey League. Or it still isn't. It wasn't then.
But he but he proved coming over here that he could have played at any level. And you know that. I mean, he was a great player here. It just happened to be that he had to stay over there for a while.
He's certainly famous. And again, we get into this discussion every once in a while, and I firmly believe it's the Hockey Hall of Fame, not the Hockey Hall of Statistics. But you need to balance those at least a little bit. And for those who say to me, you have to have the numbers and that's it. That's the end of it. You can't get in unless you have the numbers. I argue that there are some guys who have numbers who haven't gotten in, and guys who maybe don't have the numbers, like a Clark Gillies, who has gotten in. So I think that it's like a lot of things in life. Maybe it's a difficult decision. It's very subjective. You can't just weigh a man's career based on the numbers. But they do have to play a part. A guy could play for 15 years and finish up his career with 193 points. Does he get into the Hall of Fame? Probably not.
Well, I think
he's a goalie.
I think, though, that the argument you're making...
That'd be a lot of points for a goalie, is what I'm saying.
But the argument you're making, I think, actually lends itself to putting Pavel Bure in, scoring one of the most famous goals in not just Vancouver Canuck history, but I would argue playoff history since, the last 30 years? The goal in overtime, Game 7 against Calgary, where he scored on a breakaway. Remember that goal?
Barely. I mean, and I wouldn't have... Honestly, I wouldn't really have remembered it unless the NHL trotted it out in their commercials again this spring. Mm-hmm. I probably would have seen the highlight and went, oh, yeah, that was a great goal. So it's a great goal in Vancouver Canucks history. So what, it's not exactly Henderson has scored for Canada.
Oh, but come on. That was the year they went to the Stanley Cup final and lost in Game 7 when they hit a post that could have won it. I think when you're talking about...
Look, Pavel Bure didn't hit that post.
No, he didn't.
And
in fact, Lafayette did.
If he had hit the post, even that wouldn't make him Hall worthy, all right? If Pavel Bure had the puck instead of Nathan Lafayette and put it in and the Vancouver Canucks win the Stanley Cup, maybe it's a different story.
Well, you know what? Pavel Bure's brother, Valerie, married someone from...
Candace Cameron.
Oh, see, sadly, you know that.
Pop culture, right up.
Well, if
right
Pavel Bure had done that, he'd be in. And he'd be in more than one Hall of Fame, too.
Valerie Bure's not in the Hall of Fame. He's never getting into the Hall of Fame, so I don't understand.
Well, the point is that he's still here. He's grasped, he's grabbed a hold of life in North America, where Pavel went back and is now running most of the oil wells in Siberia.
Hey, you know, in the end, if Pavel Bure gets in next year, I'm not going to be too bent out of shape about it. Not at all. I'm okay with it. But, he doesn't deserve to get in before Markow. That's silliness. That's nonsense.
I couldn't disagree with you more. And what about, while we're on to this, Pat Byrne's not getting in again?
Yeah. I want to be very careful that this doesn't come off as glib. I'm not trying to make it glib. But if they weren't going to put him in last year, unfortunately and tragically, there's no hurry to do it now. Do you know what I mean? I'm really not trying to be a jerk about this.
But again, they didn't put anyone else in the builders category. They had room for him this time.
I know. And Fred Shiro is, I was shocked
to read that Fred
Shiro's not in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And it goes back to what I was talking about in Bombs Away. Why is that? I'd really like to know what kind of a conversation the powers that be that ascend people to the Hockey Hall of Fame might have had to keep a guy like Fred Shiro out year after year after year. And I think this is what they're doing, is they're protecting themselves from what might be petty or not so petty little differences and personal problems that they had with some people to say, no, that guy's not going in while I have a vote. The hell with it.
I think you hit the nail right on the head. And sadly, as you had mentioned earlier, until we know the process, a lot of people will believe the same.
Pat Byrne deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Fred Shiro deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. There are others. Pavel Bure will probably get in. Don Cherry deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
No question he does.
New can of worms, I know, but we already know why Don Cherry's not in the Hall of Fame, and it has to do with what I was just talking about. It's absolutely that he's rubbed too many people the wrong way. Specifically, too many people who have the power to say, let's put Don Cherry in the Hall of Fame.
This is The Gist of It with Landry and Hayes.
This Friday is July 1st. That's Canada Day, or... I'm sorry, Bill. Dominion Day. I'm sure you probably prefer that.
I was almost... As a matter of fact, I call it Metro Day now.
You call it Metro Day. This is a big deal for me. Canada Day. I will sit quietly for hours on end, contemplating the importance of my nation to me and how proud I am to be Canadian. Now, I will drink a few beers and eat some steak while I'm doing it.
Sure.
Nevertheless, I will do some contemplation. And I am a fiercely proud Canadian. My friends know that. Anybody who's listened to me over the years knows that I'm, maybe it could be, a detriment at times to be so proud to be Canadian. And I am like a lot of Canadians, I guess, in that I can't really eloquently state just exactly what makes me proud to be Canadian. But I know I am, and I know I can talk in general terms about the type of stoic people we are, the hard workers we are. The very nature of most Canadians is to help each other. These are the things that I think I'm most proud of.
Well, it's funny because I happen to hold dual citizenship. I was born in the United States and I still hold American citizenship as well. But I always have identified more as Canadian. I was raised here. I live here. I really have no intentions of ever living in the United States, although that could change. I can be bought. we'll say that. But the fact is that I love this country. I've had the opportunity in doing this job that I've lived in Quebec City, I've lived in Montreal, I've lived in various places in Ontario, including its greatest city, Toronto, which is also the country's greatest city. I've lived out west in Calgary and Vancouver, and I've had a sense of what it is to be Canadian in all those different places. And it makes me very proud. It's a great country, as you said, and it's a very diverse country. The country that you see in Quebec City is extremely different than what you see in Calgary. And the fact that we still could keep that together, to me, is, again, a sense of immense pride. But this weekend is about more than that. I mean, I will contemplate that, and I'll give it some thought. But it's also, I think, the time to celebrate the lack of traffic we're going to see for the next couple of months. One of the things about summer, the 2 months, July and August, is that at any given time, about a quarter of the people who are usually at work are away. So traffic, it's so much easier to get around. I celebrate that, Don.
Yeah, well, I can't disagree with that. I want to talk about, you know, going over the top when it comes to celebrating Canada Day. And, you know, I think that people have often looked down their noses at the Americans on July 4th and just how over the top it is and cringeworthy it can be. And
I've often looked at what they do in the States and gone, like you say, it's over the top. There's a reason for that, though. And I mean, it's also, I think the reason why we see it that way is that we've always been much more reserved. That's the word I would use for Canadians, at least Canadians in this part of Canada, because we have that British, or have had that British sensibility.
Well, that's okay. And, you know, no sex, please. We're British.
Which, thankfully, isn't necessarily the case. But
keep calm and carry on.
But the point is that we've always had that. We've always looked at others and gone, well, that's too much. And if you're in the States, it's a given. I grew up in it. I for the first 10 years of my life, I stood every morning at school with my hand over my heart, my country 'tis of thee, or I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Yeah.
I wasn't into my 20s before I realized it wasn't I pledge of allegiance, because that's what I thought it was. And it's the point I'm making there is you don't even know what you're saying, but you're saying it every day.
Yeah.
And that's what they see when they look at their history, or they look at history. They only look at their history. They don't care about Canada. Whereas we're so close to it, we look at it, and I think there's a bit of envy there. I think we look at it and go, I wish we had a little bit more of that, but we really can't.
Well, we're getting a bit more, I think. I think Canada Day has changed over the years. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, just ask the good folks at Kaboom Fireworks, because I think they're probably doing, they're everywhere now. You know, I was at Canadian Tire the other day, and there was a box of Kaboom Fireworks, I think. I can't remember what it was called, like the Pyro Felon Collection or something like that. And it was about $250. And it was filled with everything. I think there was a Scud missile in there, Bill.
Yeah.
I like the fireworks, but it can be a little bit much sometimes. You know, people just buy those things and set them off for almost any occasion. Not that Canada Day is just any occasion, but I mean, when it's 1 o'clock in the morning and you're in the middle of Toronto and you're trying to get some sleep, that's enough with the Kaboom fireworks.
But I agree. By the way, you mentioned Canadian Tire. Yeah. There's two, I think, business icons in this country that immediately you think of Canada, you think coast to coast. One is Tim Hortons.
Yes.
And the other is Canadian Tire. Can you imagine if there was an American Tire? I can see what their, I know what their slogan would be. American Tire. Rounder.
If you don't like our tires, you don't support the troops.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
What are some of the other things? Let's just talk about some of the other things you might be proud of when it comes to Canada.
Seagram's.
All right. There may be a bit of a pattern evolving here. If we continue, if I keep asking, what else, Bill? I think we may get, you know, Canadian Club.
Molson's good. No, absolutely.
Yeah. I was always proud of the King of Kensington. I thought that was an underrated pro.
King of Kensington?
Trailblazer.
Come on. No.
Trailblazer.
Trouble with Tracy.
Oh, no.
The Trouble with Tracy was it. It was so bad, it was good.
There was it Steve Weston who...
Steve Weston fell off a roof. That's how he died.
Unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago. He had that catchphrase, isn't that awful? He was right.
Yeah,
that was a very bad show. King of Kensington, I think, stepped up a level from there.
Franz Russell. Remember Franz Russell? He was the guy who played Tracy's brother. Like as like an overweight kind of out of it hippie.
Yeah.
May have been the worst character ever.
May have been.
Brilliant stuff.
You know, you had some really good characters on King of Kensington. And in all seriousness, even if you look at, and we have come a long way when it comes to quality in Canadian television and movies.
Yep.
And music. Music had a head start. Music, we were always pretty good at it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, but when it comes to Canadian movies and television, in all seriousness, anyone who just goes, what? All we do is put out crap. You haven't been paying attention in the last 10, 15, 20 years, because there is a lot of very good Canadian stuff coming out on television in particular, movies as well. But I think King of Kensington was a gateway for that. It might sound weird because it wasn't, when you look back on it, it's not a great show, but it was better than Trouble with Tracy and that, I think. And it was a bit of a hit, a Canadian hit.
Yeah.
And I think that showed us that we could make some things that are Canadian that might actually be pretty good. So there you go. You boil it down. We have a long discussion about what we're most proud of when it comes to being Canadian. And for me, it's that we've gone from King of Kensington to, I don't know, being Erica.
This is The Gist of It with Hayes and Landry.
The Pope is tweeting now.
Sorry?
The Pope is tweeting now. I don't know if the Pope is actually doing the tweets, but someone's tweeting on his behalf. This just started yesterday, I think it was. It's a good idea.
How many languages? Because really, you know, he speaks six or seven.
But isn't Twitter perfect for this kind of thing? I mean, if the Pope wants to get a message out, can you know, I'm not a highly religious person, but couldn't he just tweet, hey, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, LMAO. You know, and I don't even know what that means, but I mean, you know, like you can just refer to a larger message with something that's very small, right? Here's some of the other tweets that he's put out here. Judas, what the hell? Hashtag no, you didn't. It's a little informal. Here's another one. Sensational communion today. Shout out to the wafer makers. All right.
No, that's good. Yeah, yeah. I can see that.
Swear to my boss. I get it.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Took a while, but I got it.
My toast came out looking like Mother Teresa today. LOL. What is it? Oh, this one's good, and it is topical. I'm cool with gay marriage in New York. Just NIMSPS. What is that? Not in my St. Peter Square, I guess is what it is. All right. And this one. Thinking of ascending Miracle Whip to sainthood. Just had an awesome BLT. See, you know, even if you're the Pope, like, they're just something. You don't have to tweet everything, all right?
LMAO, laughing my ass off. We've talked Canada Day, and Don, I got to admit, I am fiercely proud and loyal to my country. But right
Which
now,
one, Bill? You've already told me of dual citizenship. This is very suspicious.
Canada. Canadian.
All right.
But I am a huge fan of Team Sweden.
In what sport? Doesn't matter, right? Yeah.
Pretty well, no, it does matter.
Do you know, I curled in a bonspiel at the cricket club a few weeks ago with a member of Annette Norberg's World Championship curling team. Her name's Sarah Carlson. She's on the, we won the whole thing.
I'm not surprised.
Sweet, get this. Swedish girl who learned to speak English by living in Scotland for a year. So, she sounds Scottish.
Oh, that's not right.
It's very
funny. It's like Dario Franchitti always freaks me out. You know, Dario Franchitti should be talking like this, but he doesn't talk like this. He's very much like that. I don't get it at all. But I digress.
Which Swedish squad are you
talking about? I am talking about the Women's World Cup. Now we've been
of what?
It's soccer.
Sorry, I'm not following.
Football.
Oh, soccer. Okay.
Football, if you prefer.
All right.
I happen to think this is a great tournament. I think it's the one sport where really, maybe curling would be another, but it's the one sport where it doesn't matter if you're male or female. I mean, they are tremendous talents. There are equal talents to the men. Well, I shouldn't say equal. The men probably are still a little bit better, but it's still a great game to watch.
Everybody at the highest level of whatever they're doing is excellent. So, and, you know, and in a sport that, look, I'll be honest with you, I don't watch a lot of soccer. I think soccer highlights are great. I love to watch soccer highlights. I don't like watching the game. It just takes too long for me to get to the portions where, you know, a highlight is warranted. So it's just not for me. But, well, you know, and I don't even really have, it's not that I hate it. People think that, you know, you hate it. And what bothers me is that, you know, the real soccer fan will tell me I don't understand.
You don't understand.
That's arrogant. That's utter arrogance. Oh, here, hear me out.
Go ahead.
Kick the ball into the opponent's rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use your hands. There. Do I understand soccer or not?
Okay. Hockey. Put the puck in the opponent's net. Don't use your hands.
Precisely my point, Bill. If someone says, I don't like hockey, are you going to say to them, oh, you don't understand the nuance of it? You don't have to defend hockey that week. Oh, you know, it's if you don't like hockey, you don't like hockey.
No.
Do you talk to people that way?
When no, the point I'm getting at is like if you're going to bring it down to one sentence, well, yeah, of course that's what it would be. I mean, I would say the same of hurling or whatever. Another, not curling, hurling.
Right.
The fact of the matter is that, you know, there's a lot of intricacies to the game in soccer. And I look at it as 90 minutes of one-on-one battles. Every time someone has the ball, someone else is trying to get it off them.
90 minutes of one-on-one.
It is. That's what it is. That's what the game is. Until you appreciate that, until you understand that.
There are occasional skirmishes that break out
well
along the border. But You know, that's about it.
No.
You know, and, but when those one-on-one battles do come at a high level for those flashing moments, mm-hmm. that's what I'm talking about. Those soccer highlights are fantastic. Soccer highlights are as good as highlights from any sport.
No question they are.
Don't you? Spectacular stuff happens.
This time last year, though, we were watching the Men's World Cup.
Yes, and, you were.
And it was astonishing because, again, one of the reasons behind it is that the skill level at that level, as yeah. you said, is incredible. And it is in any sport. And I'll grant you that. But there's also an emotional attachment that you can see every country has to their team. I could watch, say, Colombia. As a matter of fact, I did watch Colombia yesterday. And I have no interest in Colombia as a country or even as a record label. But
I think they did really good work as a record label.
They did. But the thing was, I know that as I'm watching that, a whole bunch of people back in their country are watching it, and it's life and death. That's something that, and frankly, in Colombia,
it's nothing to do with the sport.
No, it does, because it adds to
any sport.
No, that's not true.
Hockey. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
it has nothing to do with the sport. That has to do with the people's attachment to
Canadians are playing Belarus in hockey. Okay, we're pretty hyped up about it. Although I would argue on the world championship level, we're not. But in Belarus, they're like,
I got to pick your fields. I got to go outside.
Well, okay. It's a long accent.
I don't know
point,
that.
Well,
I don't believe that to be the case necessarily. I think the Belarusians are huge hockey fans, and I'll bet they probably would be a pretty big deal for them to play Canada.
Maybe, but I'm trying to be funny
there. Plus, if El Salvador is playing Colombia, yeah, it means a lot to those living in El Salvador and those living in Colombia, mm-hmm. and perhaps some countries in that area. But do you think they care in Norway? I don't think they care in Norway.
That's not my point. My point is when I watch those games, I do realize and I do take into consideration how the people in their country are viewing it. Because to me, that is part of the experience.
This is The Gist of It with Landry and Hayes.
What I will say about the Women's World Cup is, and I have not watched any of it so far. I may tune in. I will probably tune in to see if Christine Sinclair will play with a broken nose. She's
me too.
A beauty.
Oh,
I mean,
what a play! What an athlete!
What a terrific athlete! She's considered one of the top three or four or five female soccer players on the planet. Has
yep.
been for a long time.
Yep.
And all she does is return to the game against Germany with a broken nose and score a goal. Canada loses 2-1. But now you've got this great drama. Will Christine Sinclair play against the French? It's a must-win for Canada if they have hopes of moving on into medal rounds. And I think she will, because she is a Canadian athlete.
Yeah.
We see it, to get back to hockey, we see it all the time.
She's
you
a warrior.
You get roughed up, you get out, and you play even harder.
Yep.
I will be shocked if she doesn't play in
the game. I actually saw a mask. Now, I hope to God this isn't the mask that they're actually going to ask her to wear, but it looked like, have you ever seen the original mask for a goalie? I believe it was Clint Dempsey was going to wear it. Clint Benedict. You're right. That mask is pretty much what she's going to be wearing if she plays tomorrow. It's like, she'll win because she'll scare the hell out of France.
There's something to be said for that. I mean, she could be even meaner. I think she's, a fierce competitor,
mm-hmm.
a tremendous leader, fantastic captain, as good as any we've seen in any sport in Canada
yep.
over the last 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to overdo it. But, in a sport that I don't really care that much about, this girl's a shining star for, all of the great Canadian reasons that we talk about.
Here's the other thing about that. I think one of the things about soccer, especially in this country, is we've never really been good on the world stage. I mean, I think the Canadian team has made it to the World Cup in men's soccer once, and we continue to have difficulty with that. The women's team, though, if I'm not mistaken, they're ranked number 6 in the world. The Germans were number 1, and they gave them a good game. As a matter of fact, they should have tied it at the end. They had glorious opportunities. That, I think, also adds to the appeal to Canadians or to sports fans anywhere. You want to win. You like being the underdog. That's okay. But you want to think, we got a shot. And I think what that game against the Germans showed was, this is a good team, and they could do something on the world stage. That's something else that I think will add people and add to the experience of watching the Women's World Cup, at least here in Canada.
Another reason to be a proud Canadian, Christine Sinclair.
Bingo. Or en français, bingo.
Don, I mentioned earlier my dismay at the decision by our mayor to not take part in any of the Pride Week festivities. And I know you wanted to add something to that. What's on your mind?
Well, at least so far he's not partaking, right? I mean, it seems to kind of change at least a little bit, or people are reading into it. I mean, he's not going to go to the parade because he's got a family commitment, which you talked about. He's not at the flag raising. Francis Nunziata stands in for him on that one. And then in between, you know, these happenings, we hear that, well, he might be changing his mind. He could show up to an event, but I'm not really getting that from what he is saying. And I've been around and around on this one, and a couple of things come to mind. First, we don't want to see Rob Ford at Gay Pride anyway, all right?
I certainly don't want to see him in a Speedo.
I mean, well, this is what I'm getting at. I mean, the Gay Pride Parade is flamboyant, all right? Mm-hmm. Now, Rob Ford's not going to be flamboyant, but if it's a nice day, Bill, he's going to be there in sandals and shorts and a T-shirt. And there are super soakers everywhere. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Rob Ford's T-shirt is going to get super soaked. Nobody wants to see that, okay? You don't want me to be super soaked either, do you?
No.
So we don't want him there anyway because we're going to see visual of this all over the place. And nobody needs it. But you know what? At first I thought, okay, cut the guy some slack. He has a family tradition. He wants to take part in that. Good on him being a good family man. I'm not so sure it's the real reason he wants to stay away, but I don't know. But beyond that, no, you know, you're the mayor now. You know, you stepped into this job, you wanted this job, you've got responsibilities, and oftentimes those responsibilities are going to supersede family commitments. And your family probably knew that going in, or at least you should have explained it. You certainly should have known it. And this is one of those occasions where you probably have to do something that you don't necessarily want to do and would rather be somewhere else. Guess what? We all have to do it. But you're the mayor. You really have a responsibility to do more of these high-profile events. Basically, it's time to put on the big boy pants if you want to be mayor. Or in this case, the big boy assless chaps. Put those on and
do it. No, let's go with the pants. Let's just do the pants. But, you know, the thing with all of this is that when you get to a certain point in life, and traditionally anyways, I think an awful lot of us have leaned towards compromise when there are issues that come up between groups, between friends, whatever.
Yeah.
I think what Rob Ford represents, though, is a new, tougher reality when it comes to things like that. And that is, they like the confrontation, you know. And the confrontation in this particular case means, go ahead, do what you're going to do, but I am not even in the smallest way going to, in any fashion, be behind you. I'm not, maybe that's a bad choice of words in this particular instance, but the point is,
that was going, you know, without reaction, by the way. You centered that out.
I did.
It's on you.
I'm sorry, and I didn't mean it the way it came across, but the fact is that we really should be building bridges instead of blowing them up. And that's the whole point. You know, this is a guy who, he represents a certain viewpoint. And in some cases, I absolutely agree with him on some things. I as I said earlier, I voted for the man, and I had my reasons for doing so. In this particular case, though, there's nothing to be gained by shutting a group out. And that's really what he's doing.
He is. But, you know, I think the other side can show a little tolerance, too. Especially if you believe that Rob Ford's not your kind of guy. He's not going to be supportive, hasn't been supportive. You don't even want... Look, I expect that many of the people wouldn't even have wanted him there at the flag raising, wouldn't want him there at the parade. If he feels strongly that he can't embrace your lifestyle or allow you to it, as mayor, he should be more welcoming. But if he just doesn't have it in him, fine. That's him. Some people are like that. Maybe you could be a little more tolerant about that. Size him up and decide, that isn't somebody we want at our party anyway, so screw you.
Don, I came across an article that seemed to indicate that the city of Chicago is either using or benefiting from its gangster past when it comes to tourism. There's an awful lot of people who want to go to
Well, there was a church, for instance, where there was a notorious shootout. You can still see the bullet holes. You can still go to where Al Capone lived. You can go, although it's not there anymore, you can go to roughly where the St. Valentine's Day Massacre occurred. And apparently, it's working. It's part of their past. Chicago is still a violent city in some ways, but not like that. And those times, that era, is kind of has been romanticized, I guess, by Hollywood and so on. And anyways, my point is, if Toronto were to do the same thing, what do you think would be the best way to celebrate our past or celebrate what we are? And I have an answer for that before you get to it.
Oh, good, because I don't.
We talked about jingles earlier. I would use a jingle, and I would use a song and change the words for the jingle. And instead of "We Are Family," which we could use, yeah. Remember Sister Sledge song, I would go "We Are Everyone," because what this town is the most, this is the most international city in the world.
Yeah.
This is a city that has more culture, more cultures than anyone else. That's something to celebrate. Why go to Europe? You can go to the Danforth.
Well, but I think we do celebrate that stuff already, don't we?
See it on our commercials anywhere. I mean,
I don't see any commercials here for what.
Anywhere, though. You can go online and see what we're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know, we celebrate things like, look, we got the CN Tower. It's pretty tall.
Well, it is pretty tall, Bill. You know, why do you say it like that? And for 30 years, it was the tallest freestanding structure in the world. I'm very proud of it. And, you know, and it does look like Toronto's giving Buffalo the finger. There are a lot of great qualities. Oh. Got that new Skywalk thing up there. Gangster route. Even though you don't have one. How about this? Group of Seven. That sounds gangsterish. We know it's not. The Group of Seven. Let's make them gangsters. All right? Instead of being really adept at the oil and canvas, they were really adept at the guns and moonshine. What?
The group. Oh, yeah. Tom Thompson, A.Y. Jackson.
Tommy Gunn Thompson. I wasn't really in the Group of Seven, but, you know, close enough. Right?
No, really. I think a lot
of
those
guys. Tie them all in with
life.
The Sleeman guys. You got your components.
Well,
in
those
there.
Commercials actually use a little bit of that.
There
and
you go.
They're pretty clever, actually, I think. But
I think that's a little more interesting than, We are the world.
We are everyone. Get it right.
Sorry. Slogan is everything.
But and actually, when it comes to Sleemans, I had one recently. And you know that spot is pretty clever. There is a whiff of cordite in the beer. A whiff of cordite in the beer.
What the H-E double hockey sticks are you talking about?
Cordite. When you shoot a gun?
Oh, no. See, he is dual. Folks, not just Canadian, American, so he has this requisite gun knowledge the back of his brain.
Who smells bullets? No, it's just the Sleemans. Yeah,
let's go back to something I said earlier. This is easy. We want to celebrate Toronto. We want to turn people on. King of Kensington. Let's celebrate the history of King of Kensington. Trumpet it to the world. Come one. Come all. Here's the home of Larry King.
Right there,
not
you
that
indicated
one.
Another show. A little change again, changing the wording. The Trouble with Landry. Well, Don, that wraps up another week in the wonderful world of the gist of it. Ready or not, been done betting on not. We'll be back again next week. You know, we're always looking for ideas, comments, hints, allegations, basically feedback. Let us know what you think at donlandry.com. Click away on the prompt.
And that's the gist of it for another week. The gist of it is available every Wednesday afternoon through iTunes or at donlandry.com.